Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Every artist craves a space of their own. One Minneapolis-based organization is dedicated to nonprofit real estate development for the creative class. Today, ArtSpace co-owns more than $500 million of property across the United States. In South Dakota, they collaborate with the First Peoples Fund to support arts programs on the Pine Ridge and Cheyenne River reservations. SDPB's Charles Michael Ray recently sat down with ArtSpace CEO Kelly Lindquist in the Rapid City studio.
Kelly Lindquist, I want to thank you for joining us today. Thanks for coming into the studio.
Well, thank you. It's a great pleasure being back here.
And I want to start with what might sound like a dumb question to a lot of people out there, but I want to hear this answer in your own words. Why is it important what you do? Why is it important that someone create a space for artists to live and work in our community?
Certainly not a dumb question. I think it's a terrific one and something that I've wrestled with probably since I was a kid, but skipping up to around 1987 when I became the president of ArtSpace and started to introduce to the city of Minneapolis and city of St. Paul the concept that artists attract economic development. I have been wrestling with all of the different layers of what that means and how that is done. So, you know, again, by your good question, you know, what's behind this and why do I do this and what's the effort? The effort is to create spaces where working artists, they're usually low income, but not necessarily, working artists have places where they can live or work or perform or conduct business or exhibit and really engage with the public, with the greater community. And so, of course, you right away understand that not only creates further economic development, because the first thing that will happen when you have a place that is secure and safe for these working artists to do their work is that you will start getting coffee shops and cool restaurants and other wonderful creative activity. So, and that results in economic development, but you also get a sense of a transformation in that neighborhood or that community. My real goal in making ArtSpace into a nonprofit real estate developer for the arts was to make this a permanent issue, so that a permanent enclave of creative activity that permanently attracted businesses and community transformation, so that this type of great transformation wouldn't constantly be pushed then from one part of the city to another part of the city and maybe out of the city altogether. ArtSpace, we ourselves own and operate our buildings permanently, so that we are continually forever a magnet of transformation and economic development.
And if you've seen this, you've done this since 1987,
yes.
Have you seen this work over time?
Yes.
And how?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, we finally have measured it. We finally have found people with great scientific minds, of which I'm not one, who have done studies of our work that is available on our website under the word metrics. And those studies do show in a scientific way the economic development impact that you can measure. But for me, it's usually it's that, but it's also the community transformation that I really love a lot. There are other elements to here, by the way, before I answer your question that I want to make sure I say right away. I think maintaining and developing further distinct cultures is an important piece of ArtSpace's work, that we make sure that we work with creative communities representing distinct cultures throughout the United States where they can actually celebrate their culture, be safe as they do that, introduce it to the greater community around them, and also grow their culture. So that's another activity that ArtSpace is very much into. That's a little bit different from economic development, but in the end, you do get economic development from that as well. I think you asked, like, how does that happen? It's all about pedestrian activity. It's about pedestrian access. It's about families wanting to come and visit the creative activity that's happening. There, I feel in the ArtSpace buildings that there is a sense of duty by the artists, since in most of our buildings across the United States, the community, whether it's the county or the city, has put some significant dollars into that building. So I expect the creative community to give back to the community around it. So I want them to have regular open houses or regular what we call First Thursdays or First Fridays, where the first Friday of every month they open up all of their spaces, whether it's live workspaces or combined gallery shows or whatever they want to do, that get a lot of people to come in and out. This will attract other entrepreneurs and other business people that will want to have businesses around there. And eventually these families will be coming back for that as well, for a good architecture shop or a good coffee shop, a fun store with unusual things that they can buy. These sorts of things will start popping up around permanent creative activity.
Thanks. I want to ask a question a little bit later about the effort to promote arts in different cultures and communities. Mm-hmm. But first I want to ask in general about this country, about America, and mm-hmm. how we value arts compared to other countries around mm-hmm. the world. Even Canada, Mexico, certainly in Europe, they subsidize and think of artists in, mm-hmm. it seems, in different ways than we do in this country. Mm-hmm. Does that need to change?
I think that is changing. I love thinking about that. I love thinking about how the United States has valued creativity. It certainly has from its very beginning. But when you say the word arts and artists in the United States, there's still a little mountain to climb there for people to embrace it and see that that means they're talking about their uncle or their father or their daughter. They're talking about people that they are surrounded by who are creative people and who could earn an income from their creativity, whether it's dancing or singing or painting. But I will agree with you. Certainly, if we go back 40 years, 40 years ago, the United States had a very, very kind of basic look at creativity that wasn't all that embracing for a lot of, if you got outside of New York City and maybe Seattle and San Francisco. However, the rest of the world, from Japan to India to Europe, did and still does celebrate its creative people in ways where poets can become presidents. The United States, I would say, over the last 20 years in particular, I have seen just a great change. I have talked to city managers in Mesa, Arizona, in Reno, Nevada, in Hamilton, Ohio, that are just thrilled about getting creativity and artists in a permanent way into their communities. I think in many ways they primarily understand that when it's done in an orderly way and a way where these creative people are given a permanent place where they can perform or live or work, they really do give back to the community. And so that word now has spread in the city governments and county governments across the United States that it's a significant change.
And I'm guessing to really make one of these projects work, you have to have the involvement and the support of the community.
Yes.
That you're in.
Oh, absolutely.
And what does it take to get that? And how do you outreach in that ways? And I guess part of that is trying to create something that's bottom up and not top down. But how do you do that?
Right. So I think I'll answer this the art space way, and then it's easy to extrapolate that to a greater picture. But the art space way is that if a community would invite us to come in, who in the community? These days, it's often the city management community, but it's still sometimes it might be foundations in the community or a group of artists in the community, or often sometimes a neighborhood group that cherishes the arts, but they themselves are not artists, will invite us in. And we can then, in effect, we would be hired to do work in that community to find out, is there really a strong leadership in the community that might want a permanent space for the arts to be developed? Again, that can be any kind of space that is creative. And then what would that space be? What is the community talking about? So we listen very closely. We look at does the community have the long-term ability to not only finance the property that might be developed, but in the long term run the property that might be developed, or run the organizations that might move into this property. There are a lot of things to look at over time. But again, it is very authentic. It's very what I call street smart in the way that it's done, working with the neighborhoods, the organizations that are already there, partnering with creative efforts that are already there, and seeing if you want to take a next step, which would be going into a really good, honest survey instrument that we have developed over the years that would really survey the community on many levels about the desire to have permanent creative buildings in their community that for the working artists.
And one of the things you mentioned earlier was your effort to reach out across cultures and
yes.
to do this kind of work across cultures. And I understand one of the projects you're working on right now is in conjunction with the First Peoples Fund here
yes.
in South Dakota, and it's on the Pine Ridge Reservation.
Yes.
What does it take to reach across into a culture like Pine Ridge to make sure that this is, again, coming from the people on Pine Ridge and not from your organization? If,
right.
if you know what I'm asking, how do you bridge that cultural gap in an appropriate way?
Yep. So a beautifully asked question, and I'm going to answer it using other examples and then the Pine Ridge example really quickly. Just last week, we had our groundbreaking for a renovation of two great old school buildings in Treme in the middle of New Orleans. And Treme itself and the neighborhood around us is 100% African-American, and there's a very rich and terrific African-American history in Treme, as you're probably aware. Therefore, it was 10 years ago that we were first invited into Treme by two or three African-American-led cultural organizations in Treme. We worked so slowly and so carefully to make sure that the leaders in Treme, and then actually house by house, did the people really have an interest in having these old buildings in the middle of their community that were now abandoned, these two school buildings, to have them developed into creative housing and cultural and social justice space. And as they got to know Art Space better and they got to know me as the president better, and then we actually brought some of the neighborhood people and community people, we paid for them to come up to Minneapolis to meet my board of directors and meet people that we worked with in the Twin Cities community. They grew to trust what we were doing and over time deeply embraced what we were doing. And they became the forefront of making sure that this happened with the city of New Orleans and then with the state of Louisiana. So to have the people of Treme as our true partners, why that project is under renovation right now. So it is a similar process that we've used in the very culturally rich community of Pine Ridge in working and having the joy of meeting Lori Poirier and the First Peoples Fund community, more and more individual artists across Pine Ridge. They're taking the time over about a 15-year period getting to know Art Space and what we've done across the country, visiting us a lot in Minnesota, which is our pleasure. And then eventually I was invited to join the board of directors of First Peoples Fund, which I sit on. And a sense of trust and continued growth is there. So the vision in something like this, Art Space has... what we do is we respond to the vision of the community. So all we would say, oh, with that vision that you have, from a real estate point of view, here would be a couple suggestions of how to carry out that long-term or permanent goal from a real estate point of view. So we would put out a number of scenarios, and then we would also use our national fundraising efforts to then carry out those goals once the Oglala Lakota community was interested in a certain vision. So we would be very careful whether we're working in Treme or with the Native Hawaiian community in Honolulu or the Arab American community in Dearborn, Michigan, or the Oglala Lakota community in Kyle to follow their vision and their wishes for what they would want as far as any real estate or physical building activity would go.
And how is the project going in Kyle now?
Really well. so the community asked that it would come across in two different phases. So the first phase is to have a beautiful, a new bus that is suited out to travel across the reservation and also the Cheyenne River Reservation to the far-flung homes of the culture bearers, as Lori Poirier has named them very respectfully, these wonderful people across the reservation that create art, but they don't know how to sell it, and they don't know how to sell it in a way that would bring them money that would help their family and their home, but also encourage their culture for the future. So we hope that this reservation bus, as it travels around, we are doing that in partnership with Lakota Funds, which is run by Tawny Brunch. And so it's a three-way partnership with First Peoples Fund, Lakota Funds, and ArtSpace. And so Lakota Funds, people will be teaching the culture bearers how to form their businesses from the bus, and then we'll have a lot of materials on the bus that the culture bearers can use to create their traditional Lakota artwork. And then we hope in the long run that they will teach that to their children and their children's children, so that these rich traditions can become something that goes forever, and that also over time draws the greater American community to come and visit and celebrate these cultures.
Oh, that's fantastic. And we've covered some of that bus, and we'll put a link to our story on that.
Oh, fun.
The art bus on this piece as well. So
that's
those listening
great.
Who want to know more can find it there too.
Yeah.
I want to ask one more question about the communities out there. It sounds like they invite you in.
Yes.
When they deem this appropriate or important.
Yes.
But what about places where there are artists or those who see this need, but the community sort of isn't on board yet? Are there communities out there that are underserved in this sense?
Yes.
And how do they go about achieving some of this kind of development that you're talking about?
There are those communities, but it wouldn't be fair for me to mention them because
yeah, I'm not going to say names, I
right,
guess. But
right.
But I'm just curious. There's models out there.
What we suggest to the artists in those communities across the United States is to make sure that they work over time to form themselves into some sort of team or group. Or a nonprofit or for-profit, some energy where they represent a lot of thought, where they also vote. They make it clear that they vote, so the elected officials will listen to them, and that I hope that they're also fun. That they make even more outreach programs where families, youngsters, where people can engage over long periods of time in the wonderful work that they as a creative community do, but that they slowly build up an awareness of what some of their greater needs are before they are once again kicked out from that area because they attracted the economic development and thrown into another area where they have to start all over again. Or some of them just give up because after time you just can't keep being kicked out from one place to the other.
Yeah.
Their desire would be that their spaces would be created where they can do their work permanently and affordably, what we call sustainable, and not be kicked out from place to place, so that they can mature and grow within that and be proud of what they do and continue to teach the greater community wonderful things that they're doing in their different art forms.
One question, if I can, too, on a lot of it looks like what your organization has done over the years is worked in inner cities and these kind of places that might be marginalized. Is there a difference in working in rural America in places like South Dakota or Pine Ridge? Are there different challenges you're finding?
I bet there are. The only reason I'm laughing at that is even though I was born in Minneapolis, I have much more of a rural joy in me. So
yeah.
That's funny because that's why I'm here today. But my senior vice president of national advancement is actually in New York today raising money from the terrific foundations that are there for the work we do across the country. One would think maybe the president would be in New York and other folks would be here, but it was totally my desire to be here. I love being in Rapid City and I love being in smaller communities where I just find there's more vitality. And I think there's a lot of, I can feel the different drives. It's more clear to me about what people want. And that's also the obstacles are a little clearer as well. So I think working in communities the size of Rapid City or smaller, because we have beautiful buildings in communities like Fergus Falls, Minnesota, and then we're working on some in Colorado, like Trinidad in Southern Colorado. We're very careful to make sure that we're working within the kind of fabric that the community has. We are not in any way revolutionaries. We believe in evolution that comes from within the community itself of respecting and enjoying and have a lot of fun with the creativity that's already in their community. And remembering that we are simply builders for the arts. We are not programmers. So in the end, it's the community that programs the spaces that we build.
Kelly Lindquist, President and CEO of ArtSpace. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's very kind of you.
That was Charles Michael Ray talking to Kelly Lindquist, the CEO of Art Space. For more on the First People's Fund, you can head over to our website, sdpb.org.